throwing me off right off the get-go there. Today, I want to ask the question, Christian or disciple? Are they the same? Oops, too many. Or are they different? Now, the last time I brought a message from up here, I was quite nervous, as I am any time I talk in front of a group of people. And my son, who lives in Columbus, listened to the recorded message, and he goes, "Dad, you sounded really nervous on that one." And I'm like, "Yeah, duh." But when Justin asked me to do this again, I started praying about what I could do to relieve my nervousness. Well, a couple of things that came to mind was standing out in the hall and just reading it. That way I wouldn't see anybody. I also considered taping it and putting it up on the video monitors. But as I was doing a devotion one day, the Bible verse jumped out at me. It came from Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. Jeremiah was speaking to the Lord, and he said, "Alas, sovereign Lord, I do not know how to speak, for I am too young." Well, I related to the first part of that, not so much to the second. I'm still young at heart, though. But the Lord said to me, "Do not say, 'I am too young,' for you must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and rescue you, declares the Lord." Well, after I read these verses, I realized I needed to come out of my comfort zone and face all of you. Let's take a moment for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I ask that as I bring this message to you, that you placed upon my heart that I can be strong and courageous, not be afraid or discouraged, for I know that you will be with me and with us wherever we may go. So after I was asked to bring this message, Justin didn't give me a topic this time. He told me I got to pick it out myself. So I prayed about it, thought about it day and night. And finally, one night, middle of the night, I woke up and was like, okay, it's going to be on discipleship, being a Christian, and how to be a disciple for Jesus. Now, this was before I even knew what the word of the year was going to be, so maybe after I talked to Justin about it, maybe that's when he came up with the word. I don't know, but so going back to that original question, is there a difference between a Christian and a disciple? When we look to the Bible, we only find three references to the word Christian. The first instance comes in Acts. In chapter 11, verse 26. And it goes, "Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were first called Christians at Antioch." The name Christian, meaning belonging to Christ or men of Christ, appears to have been invented by those outside of the church, possibly as a way to distinguish them from the local Jews. Other thoughts have been that they were speaking so much about Christ that the Gentiles began to describe them as the Christ people. Only two other times does the word appear in the New Testament. The first one is in Acts chapter 26, verse 28, where Paul is on trial. Agrippa says to Paul, "Do you think that in such a short time you can persuade me to be a Christian?" The other time it is in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 16. "However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name." In these verses, we see that Christians were considered teachers of Christ and were willing to suffer and not be ashamed. In the early church, someone who was a Christian was different from everybody else. A Christian was somebody who was embodied the life and the teachings of Jesus. Christians were loving, inclusive, generous, gracious, and humble. They were expected to reflect the fruits of the Spirit in their daily lives by showing love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. They were seen as strong people, people who stood up for justice and mercy. They didn't back down from doing the right thing, no matter what the cost was. But over the years, I believe Christianity has become watered down. Now the definition seems to be more like anyone who goes to church, has gone to a church, or who claims some sort of affinity with Christ. They are considered Christians. Now, I grew up in a Christian family. My parents made sure that I made it to church every weekend. I made it to CCD every weekend. I served as an altar boy at Mass occasionally. At that time, I thought that's all I needed to do to be a Christian. After I got married, I eventually changed denominations. I went to church on Sundays. Cheryl and I got involved with our youth group and became the leaders of that group for several years. I was on numerous committees and served on a lot of projects at the church. Again, this is what I thought it meant to be a Christian. Now, when we look at disciples, we find out that it's mentioned in the New Testament over 261 times. A disciple is one who has come to Jesus for eternal life, claims Jesus as his Savior, and has embarked on a life of following Jesus. They respond to the call of Jesus in faith and a relationship of allegiance and loyalty through which Jesus shares his own life and the disciple embarks on a lifetime of learning to become like the Master. When I think about disciples, there are two sets of verses in Matthew that come to my mind. The first is in Matthew 4, verses 18 through 22. One day, as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, also called Peter, and Andrew. They were throwing a net into the water, for they fished for a living. Jesus called out to them, "Come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people." Let me repeat that. Jesus said to come and follow him. He didn't say, "Hey, stay in your boat and just talk about me." But he actually wanted them to follow him so that he could show them or teach them how to become fishers for people. And they left their nets at once and followed him. A little further up the shore, he saw two other brothers, James and John. They were sitting in a boat with their father Zebedee, and they were mending their nets. He called to them to come also, and they immediately followed him, leaving their boat and their father behind. Now, in this instance, you see that they all immediately left their nets to follow. They didn't say, "Well, wait a minute, Jesus, I got to fold up my nets and pack them away, or I got to go home and feed the dog and close the house up and pack some belongings." No. They left immediately to follow Jesus. You see, Christian disciples are people who have responded with their whole being to the call of Jesus to follow him. They are people who have left the security of their comfort zones, left their nets to become what Jesus calls fishers of people. They were being told to follow Jesus so that he could teach them on how to go out into the world and gather people together and teach them his good news. The second verse that brings discipleship home for me is found in Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. This is also known as the Great Commission. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." To become a disciple of Christ, there are a few things we need to do. First of all, we need to give our hearts to God. The original 12 disciples lived with Jesus and built a personal relationship with him. Through that day-to-day contact, they were able to receive him in a way we will never be able to. But we too can have a personal relationship with Jesus by giving our hearts to him as the center of our lives each and every day. In Matthew 22:37, it reads, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." The next step is the giving of our minds to God in study. Jesus taught the disciples about God, about how he wanted them to live, and how they were to spread the word. By being students of Christ, we too can learn these things by giving him our minds and by studying his word. We are fortunate in this church to have many opportunities, as we saw in the announcements earlier. Last year, for example, I was part of the Bible study that covered the whole Bible in a year chronologically. A few weeks ago, we heard from other people that were in that group, and they gave their testimony and what that year-long Bible study meant to them. For me, it opened up a whole new way of looking at the Bible. In my lifetime, I've probably read the Bible all the way through, but I've never done it in a year. And I've probably only done it a verse here, a verse there, a book here, or a book there. I have never done it chronologically. And by doing it chronologically, it brought out a whole new meaning to what the Bible says by being able to compare different books together. Also being able to listen to what the other people in the group had to say about what they learned also brought a new meaning to the way I took in the Bible that year. So now, once we have given our heart and mind fully to Christ, then we must be prepared to give our hands and feet to God through Christian action. Giving your hands and feet means every aspect of your life, your mind, your body, and soul. The disciples were partners with Jesus in ministry. They received on-the-job training, and Jesus' goal was to make them and us fishers of people. Now, after hearing this, I'm sure many of you think, there's no way I could ever do that because I'm not perfect. There's no way I could ever be a disciple. Well, remember, those first disciples were only humans just like us. They had weaknesses. In fact, Jesus didn't go to the Bibles or the scholars of that time, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He chose fishermen, tax collectors, and other ordinary people. Now, many of you have heard me talk about my weekend walk called the Walk to Emmaus. Now, this is sponsored by the Upper Room, who are also the ones that produce the daily devotionals that we have on the glass case out here in the hallway. This is a non-denominational weekend that is biblically based. Almost 9 years ago, a friend sponsored me for this weekend. To me, this weekend turned out to be a gift from God. It changed my whole outlook on the way I have been looking at my Christian walk in life. Now, on this weekend, we don't actually do a lot of walking, but we do listen to talks about grace, study, and being Jesus' hands and feet, and about being disciples. These talks are given by a few clergy, but mostly by laypersons. At the end of the weekend, they posed a question to us, and it was, "What did this weekend mean to me, and what am I going to do about it?" I don't really remember what I answered for the first question, But the second question has pretty much stuck with me ever since. What I said was, I have been saving people's physical lives for close to 20 years as a part-time firefighter and an EMT. My plan from here on out is to go out and try to start saving people's eternal lives. Now, this didn't happen right away. Remember, I don't like talking to groups of people. And I'm also not a biblical scholar. In fact, as hard as I try and as much as I go at it, I have problems actually memorizing Bible verses. So since that time, I have went back on weekends and did walks, and I've been up there and given talks to a room full of men, usually between 65 and 70 of them. I've gotten involved with the Emmaus community to the extent that last year I was the board chairman. With that, I had to get up in front of 175 to 200 people and give a report on what was happening in the community. A couple weeks ago, I got up in front of them again, this time to give my testimony. Some of it similar to what I've been saying today. Now, we are not all made to go out on mission fields or to stand in front of a congregation to deliver a message. But we do need to go out and spread the word of Jesus outside the walls of the church. It may be to family, friends, or even co-workers. I found it extremely hard at first, but I'm slowly getting more relaxed with it. In fact, if I'm on an EMS run now, if it's at all possible, I will pray with that patient. Or if I'm up front driving and the family member's in the front with me, I'll ask them if I can pray with them. Sometimes it's too chaotic and I can't do that. So after I drop the patient off, before I start my run report, I will take a minute or two to pray for that patient, his family, and the medical staff that had taken over care. I have found out that it doesn't take a lot to be a disciple for Jesus. It just takes the courage and strength to step out of that comfort zone. When God moves us out of our comfort zone into places that are way bigger than us, places that are difficult, hard, painful, that even may hurt, this is a gift. These hard places gives us the gift of intimately knowing God in ways that would never be possible in our comfort zones. One way of starting this amazing journey and stepping out of your comfort zone may be for you to go on a walk to Emmaus. And if you would like to know more about it, you can talk to Cheryl or I, and we would love to talk to you and tell you about upcoming men and women's walks. Let's pray. Here I am, Lord. I have heard you calling in the night. You are calling us to step out of our comfort zones and to become your hands and feet so that others can hear the good news. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.